Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Into right center field, this ball's going to be down and all the way to the wall. Mahoney's going to clear the bases. Astros are pouring out of the dugout like they won the game as Mahoney clears the bases with a double.
Balls, man. Dusty Baker did something that I would not have done last night and that Josh Beard would not have done last night. Yep. Josh Beard is sitting in for Vanessa. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. And I'm curious as to how y'all were feeling. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Would you have had the stones that Dusty Baker did with Martin Maldonado up in the eighth inning with the bases loaded? Would you have had the stones to leave him in and not pinch hit for him? Because I'm not going to lie, Martin Maldonado is not the guy I want in that spot. It was great to see how the Astros players reacted to it as if it were a walk-off hit. It's great that Maldonado was able to do it. It's cool that Dusty Baker, having the cool hand, worked out. I'm just saying, you got Michael Brantley on the bench. You got Yuli Gurriel on the bench. Brantley had your best average on the team going into the game. Yuli has been playing very well of late. I would have pinch hit for Maldonado, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about this before. It's you're walking that fine edge, you're walking that fine line, and you're teetering on. It's 50-50 whichever way it's going to go. Right? Actually, with Martin Maldonado up there, it's very clearly well below 50-50. So you're playing low odds, and putting Martin Maldonado in there, not pinch hitting for him. You're playing lower odds than you would if you sent somebody in there. And it worked out. It's great. And then Dusty looks like a genius. But, I brought up the analogy earlier. It's like when somebody takes a bad shot in basketball and they make it. And you're like, well, but that was still how many times have you been like, oh, that's an awful shot. And then it goes in and other people might be like, but he made the shot. I'm like, doesn't make it a good shot.
Right.
It just means that he made it. There was a low percentage chance of that going in. There was a better shot available if he had waited. It's great for Dusty. It's just like I like that he makes those calls. And I like that he does that because I think it gives his players confidence, and his players are like, okay, Dusty believes in me. I'm going to make it happen. But man, I wouldn't have done it. Not even close.
Do you think it'll build team camaraderie? Do you think seeing a guy who you don't expect to get hits making a big play, do you think it helps bond the team together? That's what he was trying to do here. You know, you just don't understand the parts of baseball, the unwritten rules, of course, but also just the idea that you can bond a team together through teamwork and perseverance.
Do you think Martin Maldonado had a 45-minute speech after the game about how much Dusty's belief in him and made him the man he is today?
I hope not. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've gotten a kick out of the guys who are mic'd up during these playoff games for the NBA.
Especially like Grant Williams being
mic'd
up the other night.
Grant Williams. I'm a Celtics fan. Shut up, dude.
Look, guys, we don't blame each other. You just got to take responsibility for what you're doing.
Shut up.
Grant Williams, man.
Yes, exactly. I mean, so last night, Robert Williams was mic'd up, and Robert Williams wasn't insufferable with it. And he actually sounded like a normal person. But Grant Williams, he sounds like someone trying to impersonate a coach out there. Oh, my God. Shut up, dude.
He's like, he's the guy, like, if you had to do stereotypical basketball players, it's the guy that's like 1 for 40, and he's still trying to act like he's the leader of the team. Now, Grant Williams, obviously, is better than 1 for 40, but
he's been great.
Yeah, he's been very good. But it's still, it's like you're Grant Williams, man.
He's like Russell Wilson to me. And this is your first experience with me because we, of course, worked together back in 2015. Russell Wilson covering him up in Seattle, that is someone that, like, I can't deal with him anymore. I can't stand him. It's awful. It's hard for me to just listen to one syllable that comes out of his mouth, because it's that stuff all the time. It's just these hollow, empty, it sounds like I'm saying the right thing kind of words. The good thing for Russ is he's good. The king of this was when we were working together, and yeah. You wanted to get me mad was Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler was like just absolute gold every single time.
In the National Football League, it is important to make sure you do the right thing as a quarterback in the National Football League.
My shining moment covering Houston sports is still the time I asked Brock Osweiler what it felt like to almost throw for a second fumble. And he did not like that question very much at all.
Well, you know what? That's a good question to ask. I remember, and oh, shoot. Maybe I can send this over to Sean. The worst memory I have of Brock Osweiler is when I asked him if there was a theme to his interceptions. Yeah. And he told me every interception has a story.
Yeah. I forgot about that. God, that's the worst.
Unbelievable. I remember that, and I was like, I'm not asking him another question the rest of the year. I resolved that to myself, because that was my job. At the end of when I was working at the flagship, I was supposed to go into the Texans press conference room, and I was basically the 6'10 voice that was there. So I would ask O'Brien a couple of questions. I would generally ask whoever else came up at the podium a couple of questions too, and then I would bring them into the post-game show right. So that they would have that ready to go. And but that Osweiler one, like I wanted to fight him.
You know,
I was so mad.
We joke, you know, I know we've joked around about like the leadership aspect of the Astros, and I know Jeremy has this thing about, oh, with Carlos Correa gone, who's going to have those mound visits? Oh, who's going to get them all? But like the good thing about the Astros is they don't have that Osweiler kind of guy. I don't really feel like they have a Grant Williams kind of guy. Everybody, like, there are very clear leaders, and there are multiple leaders like Yuli, Altuve, Martin Maldonado. There's a lot of guys out there that are really vocal, but there's nobody that's really that insufferable. And that's the thing that I love about this team. And that's part of why it's good that Dusty Baker gives Martin Maldonado that chance to step up and make a play, because you don't have that insufferable guy. You don't have the guy who's just like the fake hustle guy. They all can they all can produce in the right moments, and Dusty helps, like, gives them those opportunities, which I like.
This definitely will give Maldonado confidence going forward. I just got to say, though, between this and between his work, his usage of Ryan Presley of late, there's a certain point where, like, you're paying these guys to play, like, the majority of the games, and I'm at the point where, like, I get the argument for resting these guys, and maybe it minimizes the risk of injury, but at the same time, like, hey, you're getting paid to play a sport, it's your job, and baseball is not that, in my opinion, physically demanding.
Right.
Maybe on specific joints, it is an unnatural movement to swing a baseball bat, it is an unnatural movement to throw a baseball. You're doing things that you don't traditionally do. Football and basketball, there's a lot more natural movements that are taking place over the course of a game. But at the same time, like, come on, this isn't that demanding of a sport.
Oh, baseball purists are on, they're getting in their cars to drive up here right now.
No, I think baseball purists agree with me. I think the old
I don't think so at all.
I think it's the new people, the analytical types, are the ones that are going to look at this and say, well, actually, like, we're going to measure the amount of games that he plays, because it's just the probability of the player
management.
Getting injured.
Yeah.
It's a probability thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about math. And look, I get the argument, but I'm of the mindset of, no, it's injuries happen, and you reducing a guy's playing time, to me, that minimizes injury in the same way that buying extra lottery tickets gives you a chance to win the lottery.
See, that's where it comes down, like, the fundamental disagreement between the two of us, and this is where I say baseball purists are on their way up here, is when you say that baseball is not a physically demanding sport. I think it's different. I think it's different. It's physically demanding in a different way. But, the thing that breaks down bodies the most, the thing, especially, now, you can obviously play baseball until you're a lot older. You can play it a lot longer than you can play football, but that's because, like you said earlier, you're not getting into a car accident every 30
Snap,
seconds,
right.
every 40 seconds, right? In baseball, you can play a lot longer, but there's a lot more wear and tear on joints and things like that. It's not broken bones and torn ACLs and stuff like that, but it's bone joints, it's muscles that just get torn apart, especially in the arms and especially in the shoulders. And I think it's really, really important to have that, especially for, like, if they were trying to rest like somebody like Pena or Chaz McCormick, the resting them way too much if they were at that level. Sure, I understand it. They're younger. They can handle it a little bit more. But Ryan Presley, he's a little bit older. He's a pitcher. He has the injury stuff. I totally get it in this moment to have that a little bit more load management, especially Michael Brantley. I think he and I are actually around the same age. He's old as hell, man. Like for an athlete, that dude's a grandpa. Like so yeah, you got to rest the old men a little bit more.
I get it. It's just to me, I get they play 162 games. To me,
it's gonna hit you one day. Your joints aren't gonna work, and you're gonna understand.
You're running like two times a game. In
I'm just saying,
game. If you're an outfielder too, like there's a chance that you don't have a ball hit your way the entire time. How often are you really just sprinting?
You're standing there. Do you know how much standing ruins like my body at 36?
Bartolo Colon, Pablo Sandoval, Rafael Devers, what do they all have in common? I don't think baseball's that physically demanding. Maybe on specific joints, okay. By the way, we did find the time I asked Brock Osweiler about his interceptions. Just want to watch me get
triggered. You feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait for Brock Osweiler's new fantasy series, Interception, in the Interception Kingdom.
You know, I'm glad that Brock found a second career as the Batman. You know?
Yeah, it's really good for him.
He does look a lot like Robert Pattinson, who plays the Batman. And, you know, I like this new version of Brock Osweiler, where instead of saying, like, in the National Football League, I like to play the game so that my team can best win. I like that now he's like, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care if I live or die. Catwoman, what's up?
Do you think Brock Osweiler as the Batman would be like, every villain has a story?
Oh, my God. Yes.
We can't take them all out because they all have a story. Give them a break.
He's Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5 coming up next. An interesting question about the Houston Texans. They are setting one of their assistant coaches up to potentially be plucked from them in the near future. How much longer will Pep Hamilton be here? Is that someone they should be worried about potentially leaving? I'll tell you why they maybe should be thinking about that, because of something they're doing that's good for Pep Hamilton next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So look, I don't want to dump Texans all over you, because as someone in a past radio life who constantly was talking about the Texans and the Texans and the Texans, I realize that I can be a bit much from time to time. But the NFL is my favorite sport. I like to think that I'm a pretty knowledgeable NFL mind. And Josh and I, when we were doing the radio show together, it was just nonstop Texans talk. So I like to force in a segment every now and then. And I am curious about how you feel about this one. So let me set it up for you. It's Josh Beard sitting in for Vanessa Richardson. The NFL is doing this thing where they are trying to help out minority assistant coaches with this thing that is starting in a couple of days. It's the Coach and Front Office Accelerator. May 23rd through 24th, it'll be at the league's spring meetings in Atlanta. And I would imagine that we might have some further clarity on Deshaun Watson before those meetings take place or after those meetings take place. We actually even might get something as soon as today. I'm very curious as to when they will actually announce a Deshaun Watson suspension. A lot of people have been hinting it could be this weekend. But anyway, back to the Texans. Pep Hamilton, the Texans offensive coordinator, is one of the two candidates that the Texans are submitting. The other is one of their scouts, Mozeek McCurtis. But I want to focus on Hamilton. Hamilton was someone I thought the Texans should hire as head coach.
Yep.
It is because I felt like it would provide a degree of continuity. And on top of that, given what we saw from the offense in the second half of last year, I feel like you could have made a strong argument that Pep Hamilton, when Tim Kelly was kind of having things wrenched away from him, that Pep Hamilton was able to find something with Davis Mills for, at the very least, that was able to give the Texans some semblance of life offensively. Yep. Obviously, you don't have a lot of resources to work with if you're the Texans offense right now. But I thought the Texans should have made Pep Hamilton the guy instead of Lovie Smith. Now, for all I know, the Texans offense sucks this coming season, and I'm not feeling as good as I feel about Pep Hamilton right now. But Pep Hamilton is definitely someone I would be buying stock in. Mm-hmm. And if they're also grooming him, essentially, in this coach and front office accelerator, Josh, I would think that he might be on the fast track to getting a head coaching gig somewhere else, especially considering he did pretty well in the XFL as the head coach of the DC Defenders.
Yeah, see, I'm totally on board with you. I wanted Pep Hamilton as the head coach. And it's not just because he was wildly successful with Davis Mills last year. And the reason I want him as the head coach, part two, is the most successful teams that you see outside of the New England Patriots that go to Super Bowls and win Super Bowls have been led by offensive coaches. You look at the Bengals, you look at the Rams. These are offensive-minded coaches that are winning in the NFL today because, the rules may favor offense a little bit. And having a good offensive mind, a guy who really knows how to get the most out of a quarterback, get the most out of an offensive scheme, means a lot in the NFL. And those are the teams that are winning now. That's how it's working. So the idea of having Pep Hamilton as the head coach with maybe Davis Mills is something, but I'm fully on board with thinking that the Texans are going to be drafting a quarterback in 2023, and Bryce Young or CJ Stroud is going to be at the helm going into the 2023 season. It would have been nice having Pep Hamilton in the house as the head coach with a young quarterback like that, and then you get to see like a really great, young, talented quarterback on a rookie contract with weapons around him, and Pep Hamilton as a head coach. Now, is there potential that we could be looking at, maybe Pep Hamilton's there as the offensive coordinator in 2023 with Bryce Young, and then by year two of Bryce or CJ.
So you're thinking that Bryce Young's the guy if they get the first overall
absolutely.
Pick?
Absolutely. I'm 100,000%.
I don't think they're going to have the first overall pick next year either.
There are a lot of really bad teams. So the
Panthers, I think, are most likely to have the worst record in the NFL next year. I think the Panthers are going to be garbage. I think they have a good defense, but I think that offensively, Darnold, no. Stop trying to make that happen.
Well, I mean, a lot of it depends on Christian McCaffrey, too. Like, you saw how Sam Darnold played for the first, three games when McCaffrey was healthy. It was completely different. Like, Darnold was hitting DJ more on those slants. McCaffrey opened a lot
still
more for them.
Still making dumb throws, too.
Agreed. Though. Totally agree. But, I see the Panthers are a candidate to be bad. The Falcons are a candidate to be that bad. I know they just drafted Desmond Ridder, but that's not going to preclude them from taking a guy like Young or CJ Stroud.
Atlanta's going into next season with Marcus Mariota.
Right, exactly. Well, I think he plays 3 weeks, and then Ritter's going to be the guy by week four or week five.
Mariota probably will get hurt. Ritter's supposedly the most pro-ready of all the quarterbacks that was coming into this year's draft. I know some people would argue that Kenny Pickett is the guy. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
No, I think Desmond Ridder was definitely the most pro-ready. He just had the least sexy abilities of all the quarterbacks. He had the weakest arm. He's good with his legs, not great.
I think Pickett to me is the most boring of all of them.
I actually really love Pickett. And I think he was my number one quarterback in this draft because I think he had the perfect balance of there's a little bit more there and he's the most pro ready. That being said, oh my God, he's boring as hell to watch. He absolutely is, and he's got those tiny hands.
I feel
smaller
like,
than mine.
And the hand thing, I don't even care
smaller
about.
Smaller than mine.
Well, humble brag. The only thing that I feel like with Pickett that like pretty strongly about it has nothing to do with his hands. I just think you drafted what's going to be the next Baker Mayfield. Because I feel like there's some similar traits between the two. I would say Baker Mayfield is smaller, but with Pickett is a guy that has that similar kind of mobility where he's sort of mobile, but he's not quite mobile. And I've said this a couple of times. If I'm drafting a quarterback going forward, I want that guy to be legit mobile.
Yes.
Desmond Ridder is legit mobile. Malik Willis is legit mobile. I don't know what those guys are going to do over the course of their careers, but in a league where offensive lines take a really long time to develop, even if you have a good offensive line, I want a guy who can extend plays and make things happen on his own. The reason Josh Allen was so damn good in those playoff games, when they finally figured things out offensively, the Bills, we'll see if they're able to do it without Brian Daboll this coming season, was because of what a dual threat Josh Allen was. And I feel like if you're not drafting a guy that has some sort of ability like that, okay, great. Like, you might have a good quarterback, but are you going to be able every single week to have a guy that is basically unanswerable? Because I would say, with Joe Burrow, I like Joe Burrow a lot, but Joe Burrow can't move, and it's going to take time for them to build up that offensive line, and that's how you get sacked 9 times in a game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Steelers' offensive line, it's better than it was 2 years ago, but there's a reason Steelers fans are like, I would love Najee Harris, but please don't draft Najee. Draft an offensive lineman. Well, now another year later, they're like, dear Lord, please. I have one friend, one of my best friends I met him when I was in the Air Force. We've known each other for a really long time. He's a huge Steelers fan. And we were watching the draft together, and he was like, please don't take Kenny Pickett here. Please don't take Kenny Pickett here. And sure enough, they took Kenny Pickett. And he's like, it's not that I hate Kenny Pickett. It's like there's literally nobody there to block for him. And their offensive line, they went from the worst in the league 2 years ago to one one of the worst in the league last year, and now they've got this guy who's kind of mobile. I think he's got some wheels, but he's got happy feet in the pocket. Like, he doesn't know when to get rid of the ball, when he mm-hmm. wants to run, and you see him, like, kind of chop and shuffle around in the pocket. That's bad news for going to a team with no offensive line.
There's a highlight I've seen before to show that he's not a statue. Where I think he ran for, like, a 50-yard touchdown. I forget what I've seen. Yeah, he's, like, on in the background at one point. By the way, a random pause, because we've just gone off on a complete tangent for the Texans, because that's sort of what happens when you're talking about the Texans. But I am intrigued to see who they might end up with at under center. I do not think that Davis Mills is the long-term answer, but I hope that I'm proven wrong. Anyway, they were showing like a supercut leading up to the PGA Championship this weekend with a couple of different guys, and all of a sudden I saw J.J. Watt up there. And I got to say, look, we all love J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt is corny as hell. There was something in the background of the shot of J.J. Watt, and I was just like, good God, dude, like, can you please stop being so damn corny? Is it not really corny to have a picture of Cillian Murphy as Tommy Shelby from Peaky Blinders on framed in the background of your little Zoom call?
100%.
Like, that's there are people that will post this online, and you'll see this on Facebook, you'll see this on Instagram, and it's like a picture of Tommy Shelby, Cillian Murphy from Peaky Blinders, where he's got like a cigarette and he's got like a you know, the Kangol cap on, and then there'll be like some deep quote about Leek being
Kangol,
a man.
The Kangol cap.
And people are like, this person personifies me. And I was like, oh, you were a World War I veteran tunneler?
Yeah.
And that's how you approach life? Now you're a gangster in Bristol, England? And I don't get why people... Look, that's a great show. I love it. But it is one of the most basic things in the world to post Instagram pictures of that or to have that in the background. And I'm saying this as someone who used to have a picture of Clint Eastwood back in the day from a movie in black and white that realized that, yes, this is like, oh, this is such a hardo, like, tacky move. Like, you can't, come on, JJ.
Okay, so you talked about this before, about covering Russell Wilson. Did you ever feel that way covering JJ? Like, did you ever feel like, oh my God, it just stop? I did at times.
Yes,
there were times,
a lot. But JJ became self-aware of it and made
fun
of himself for it eventually. It took him some time to get there, but he did. Russell Wilson is just the fakest person I've ever seen in sports. And that's saying something, because LeBron James exists. And it's because I saw how the sausage is made. Look, and it's not like I'm saying Russell Wilson's a bad person or that LeBron James is a bad person. They just annoy me because they're fake. They're not authentic. I am all about authenticity, and I can generally tell when somebody is being fake. That's it. JJ, you're projecting a little bit with the Peaky Blinders picture, man. That's all I'm saying. At least it's not a tattoo. Like, it could be worse.
We'll have to talk about this in a little bit, but I've never watched Peaky Blinders. Not a big fan.
I don't dump on people for not having watched the show. It takes a while to get into. Yeah. The first season's a little slow. The second and third season are where it's at.
Is there a single TV character that he could have had framed behind him that it would have been cool
for JJ?
I'm like racking my brain of like, there's no way that could have been cool.
Prison Mike from The Office. That is just perfect.
Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's a great one too.
If
Ron Swanson with American
Ron
flag
Ron
behind
Swanson
him.
Behind him, you'd be like, there we go, JJ.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would be a little bit better. I'm sorry, I just see that all the time posted online. It's the Peaky Blinders one. It is the one move that a lot of people pull, and I think they all believe that they are being original when they post it. There's a couple other ones too. I got to look it up. I will have that on the other side.
I'm gonna put Peaky Blinders behind me from now on. Whenever we get back from break, I'm gonna have Peaky Blinders behind me.
We're gonna, you know what? Coming up next too. I think we can revisit some of what was most recently said in the war between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We did touch on that in the last hour because Nick Saban backing down, it was disappointing. We expected it to happen, but what should Nick Saban have said instead of being a little mealy-mouthed, essentially coward in the way that he responded to this? We'll talk about that next. It is Vanessa and Gallant with Josh Beard in for Vanessa, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network, PIN. And you want to go to PassiveInvestor.net right now, because tomorrow, 8:30, we are going to be going on a bus tour. And this bus tour is going to show you how you, if you work with the Passive Investor Network, can make money through real estate. Housing prices are going up and up and up. It doesn't seem like they're going down anytime soon. And that's got to make you feel pretty good about maybe investing in real estate, right? The problem is, maybe you're like me and you don't know a damn thing about it. I don't know a damn thing about it. I really don't. and I don't want to ever know a damn thing about it. I only have so much room in my brain. I need to focus on shows like Better Call Saul or like, you know, Game of Thrones coming up, the new one. But in this situation, Passive Investor Network, they take it out of your hands altogether with a personalized five-year plan that will show you how you will accrue wealth over time. And this bus tour is a big part of it. They show you what a house you invest in looks like in year one. Then they show what it looks like in year five. I'm going to be out there. If you want to come hang out with me at the very least, come on out. The Passive Investor Network is where it's at if you're trying to make investments in real estate. PassiveInvestor.net. Enter promo code ESPN for the bus tour tomorrow. PassiveInvestor.net. Promo code ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Josh Beard sitting in for Vanessa. So that theme that you see online from people, this is what I was talking about when I saw that Tommy Shelby photo in the back of J.J. Watt's little Zoom call thing. Here's what people do. They will post a picture of a fictional, exceptionally alpha man. And they will have a quote underneath it that generally the character did not even say. There's even a Pinterest that's dedicated to Tommy Shelby did not say this, because people will post Tommy Shelby with like zero emotion on his face, looking off into the distance and saying like, what are some of the quotes that they have? Tommy Shelby didn't say it. Hang on a second. I am patient with stupidity, but not with those who are as proud of it. And it's like a picture of him like taking a drag of a cigarette. The other one that you will see is one of Tony Soprano. It's the exact same thing. This is like an online trend where people will just post pictures of them without any context and put some quote from that person, but not actually from that person underneath it.
I need you to make me a list of your favorite TV show characters of all time. A top 10 list of your favorite TV show characters of all time. I need it by the end of EOD today. End of the day today.
I'll give you a couple right now.
Okay.
First off, from Game of Thrones. Not any of the main ones.
Right.
Bronn of the Blackwater.
Okay.
Number one. In the television show The Boys, which is coming back on June 3rd. One of my favorite shows. Very underrated. If you're one of those people that you like action and you kind of are annoyed with the superhero genre
this
and you want it a little bit dark and gritty. Yes. This is so much better than anything in the Marvel Universe. But the guy who plays Billy Butcher,
yep.
I love him. That is from The Boys. Other characters did I really like from shows that I have watched? Peaky Blinders, I like Arthur Shelby because he's a bleeping mess and he's crazy. I like him. Peaky Blinders. I almost swore. I haven't sworn on the air yet. I can't do that.
I'm going to take all of your favorite characters and I'm going to start attributing false quotes to them and sending them to you on Twitter and Instagram.
Well,
I'm just going to tag you in every single one of them.
Just going to ignore it, okay?
Nope. Anyway. Okay, yeah, yes. Paul Gallant ignores something that annoys him. Yeah, that's something that's never happened before.
It's happened all the time. All right,
we're gonna test you.
I mean, I can ignore the Twitch for 10 minutes at a time. Boom, roasted.
I'm gonna get the entire Twitch chat to start doing the same thing. Just start sending you pictures nonstop of your favorite characters.
Not Santa sending a funny tweet, Paul. We're gonna need you to talk more about the text at 6:10 PT. No, I'm getting out. Okay, let's get back to talking about the war of words between Nick Saban of Alabama and, of course, Jimbo Fisher of the Texas A&M Aggies. This is the most mealy mouth, soft retreat that I could envision someone like Nick Saban having. You are God in college football. Jimbo Fisher came at you hard. This is your response. This was Nick Saban on Sirius XM satellite radio with Jacob Hester, who I believe was a fullback for him when Saban was at LSU.
I should have never really singled anybody out. You know, that was a mistake, and I really apologize for that part of it. But I'm not against name, image, and likeness. I think it's a great thing for players. You know, our players made a lot of money last year in name, image, and likeness. But, you know, I told our players to, you know, get an agent, get representation, you know, make what you can make. Players have always been able to work, and I think that's a good thing.
If you don't like it, call it out. This is what bothers me about LeBron, too, in the NBA. No one is more powerful in the NBA than LeBron. LeBron does not put his name on things. He does this passive-aggressive stuff. Nick Saban was probably talking to his boosters, trying to get a little bit of money in this thing. But look, if you feel this way, if you think that teams like Texas A&M are doing it the wrong way, stand by your words.
Yeah.
You said it publicly. You knew it was going to blow up on the internet. You had to have known. And all of a sudden, you just retreat. I think it's soft.
Yeah. Look, I said this earlier. I think it's a genius move. But it's a genius move if you're a manipulative, shiesty person, right? I need to clarify that. It's a genius move if you have no morals and you're totally fine being shiesty, which maybe this points to some of the stuff that Jimbo was saying. Like, you could see it. Some of the stuff he does, it's a little despicable. But if you want to call yourself like the football god, you want to be a leader in the college football community, which making these comments, he's trying to make himself be that.
Oh,
right?
No doubt. Right.
If you want to call yourself anything of you could trust me. I'm a man of my word. I stick to what I say. Then you have to stand by those comments, and you can't squirm away whenever people get uncomfortable.
No.
And that's what he did. He instantly squirmed away, which makes me think that Nick Saban is a squirmy, manipulative little twat. I said twerp.
No, you didn't.
That's what I said. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, fair enough. We'll just stick to it and move on.
This isn't Twitch, dude, all right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look at this streamer.
I am sorry.
I've had a long leash for too long.
He's an Aggie. It's fine, you know? But if Nick Saban came with that same energy, I would respect him. If he came back like, look at this little... Hey, Texas A&M, remember the national championship you claimed from like 1937, which is the last one that you won?
It's a legitimate national championship.
Hey, you know what? Like, I get it. You're trying to buy your titles. It's fine. I would have loved if Nick Saban actually went at it that way.
Yeah.
Instead, what Nick Saban did was go, I'm sorry that I said it. I mean, Jimbo's keeping the same energy. Deion Sanders is keeping the same energy. Listen to Jimbo. He's calling Nick Saban someone with a god complex. And my favorite part, and let's play this one instead, Sean. My favorite part of this Jimbo Fisher press conference is if, like, hey, have you talked to Nick Saban yet? Here is Jimbo's response to that.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. He's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he showed you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when you got all the advantages. Huh? It's easy.
I love it. I mean, it's perfect.
It's vicious.
And you know what? Good. You won last year. You got the upper hand right now. This idea that like Saban thinks, I know this is why he's acting this way. Saban thinks he's above this. He wants to be polite to gentlemen. Screw that.
Yeah.
Can we stop with this? Like we all know that Saban hates Jimbo and Jimbo hates Saban. It's fine. Like, just bring it out into the open. Can we stop, like, acting like we're friends? Jimbo's like, yeah, this guy, I didn't like him. We worked together. We were adversarial. And look where I am right now. And he's disrespecting the program that I'm trying to build up because he is essentially threatened, which he is.
The best part about this is that Jimbo gets to come out and be a savage and look like he gets to look like the better person at the same time. Like, there are very few times when you have a rivalry with somebody, right? There's like that mutual disdain for each other that you actually get to come out and say what you think about somebody and not look like a complete jerk. And I almost said the other word again. And not look like a complete... I stopped myself, thank you very much. And not look like a complete jerk. But this time, this is the one opportunity where he gets to come out in defense of his program, in defense of his players, in defense of his coaches, and look like the white knight wearing his savior armor and get to say everything he really thinks about Nick Saban. This was a goal. Like, Nick Saban literally just teed up. He just threw a meatball, like an 85-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, and Jimbo just knocked it out of the park. Because this is the perfect opportunity for him to get to say anything he wants, anything he's thought about Nick Saban, and have almost a complete clear conscience afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in defense of his program. And Jimbo, how would you, if you're a player for Jimbo, how would you not want to run through a wall for him right now? Right?
I would definitely feel that I am so Team Jimbo that I need to go to war.
Right.
And I'm very curious on the Alabama side of things, too, if the War Bond Brigade for Alabama if everyone's all of a sudden now buying all of the possible investments that they can. So Alabama can also operate with a clean conscience. I say this with quotation marks and have a full war chest of not money that they would give to their players, because they would never do that. They would never stoop so low.
No, never, ever. They would never. They definitely don't do that. No,
not
no,
once.
No kinds of violation. No, all those players who decommitted from programs that they had been committed to for over a year, that was just all above board, baby. Nothing but just here's what they do, really. This Nick Saban, he picks them up, he takes them to church, they say a couple of prayers together.
No, that's Dabo.
Then they go, well, Nick does this too. Then they go out for some ice cream, right? Nice little ice cream sundae. Nothing makes you a little bit better than some ice cream and a banana split, a little bit of chocolate fudge, right? And then he takes them back home. They watch Dumbo or whatever other Disney movie that kid enjoys. He lets them pick, because obviously you'd let them
pick. Rescuers Down Under was
mine.
Yeah, exactly.
With you, it'd be Rescuers Down Under. And then Nick, he's like, all right, you know, it's been a great trip. Hope you choose Alabama. And then the next day, instantly called, all above board, all very PG,
no cash nice. Dropped yeah, off along
nothing,
the way,
nothing at all, no but Lambos.
I like that I thought of Dabo along the way, because Dabo would be the other one to probably speak up and whine about Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah,
if Texas A&M were in the ACC, you know that Dabo would be whining about that, which is ironic coming from a guy who likes to force his recruits into like a pool and then force their head underwater to baptize them. I mean, that's one of the weird things that they do. They have this weird like religious sect that's a part of it. And it's not that I'm dismissing religion. There's this weird part about the way that Clemson recruits players that I find uncomfortable. I feel like you are essentially, if you are going to go there, you are kind of impressed into being of the same religious mindset as the rest of that program.
Almost. And yeah, call us a cult. Thank you very much.
I think the real cults, like at least Aggies, are cool to hang out with for the most part. When there's too many of you around, it gets a little annoying.
I know.
But I have some good Aggie friends that are nice. It's just when in mass, they all start to get a little cocky together. The one that I really, Penn State, by far the worst. Not close.
Really?
Oh my God. Like, Ohio State's elitist. Penn State, with the way that they defended Joe Paterno, with the way are so, so willing to attack them. They're attacking Bill O'Brien for leaving after 2 years. Like, Bill O'Brien was like, I did all I could here, and I resurrected your program. He should have been thanked for that.
Yeah.
He wasn't. And on top of that, like, Clemson. That's the other one. Not followed closely by, after that, Tennessee and Florida State. But since those two programs suck now, suck it. It's great. I'm Paul Gallant. He is Josh Bearden for Vanessa Richardson. Sean Mapes is behind the glasses. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN Radio. Up next, hey guys, are handshakes a must in sports? Because one player is maybe a bit miffed or maybe a bit amused by the fact that my Lord and Savior never shook his hand. You'll hear that audio next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last segment of Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Josh Beard to my right, sitting in for Vanessa. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I don't know how many of y'all are aware of Michael Collins. He is an ex-caddy who has turned into an ESPN golf analyst. I like him because he's fun. Golf is a sport that is void of personality, largely. And this guy is fun. He wears fun, bright-colored shirts. Paul Gallant already in just because of that. But he also does a show on ESPN Plus where he goes around and he interviews random folks, plays golf with them while he's doing it. And on a most recent episode of his show, he had Ryan Fitzpatrick aboard. Former quarterback for the Houston Texans and quarterback for just about every single team in the NFL. Here is what Fitzpatrick on said show had to say about his most favorite memory over his time playing in the NFL.
Of all of the NFL teams that you play for, what is your favorite moment?
Beating Tom Brady after the first time, because the first time he didn't shake my hand. So beating him in overtime, I was on the Jets and I got to chase him down at the 50-yard line.
You had to chase him down, though.
Great game, Tom. Stay healthy.
Why do you think he didn't shake your hand after that first time when you beat him?
I don't know. Apparently, he hates losing more than everybody else hates losing. when he does lose, I want a handshake.
I like that. That's the best. When he does lose, I want a handshake. That's the best comment.
Here's what bothers me, because I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I really do. I thought, look, he wasn't a great quarterback while he was here, but I've always found him to be just a very positive person, nice guy, fun to work with, fun person too.
Yeah.
And I always, even if the guy maybe is a little bit interception prone, Fitzpatrick was fun. Obviously, not the long-term answer here in Houston, but that was an interesting year. They went 9-7 that season. And by the way, the show is America's Caddy with Michael Collins. It's worth watching. I like Michael Collins a lot. But anyway, you're talking about my Lord and Savior here. I'm sorry. You don't get to touch his hand.
Oh, here we go.
You don't get to touch his hand, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You guys are a journeyman.
Would you get to touch his hand?
I don't think I'm worthy.
Oh, really? At least, okay, I can at least... No. It's not going to be as insufferable as I thought it was going to be.
No, I am his most devout worshiper.
All right, I wish I had.
I would buy Brady Bitcoin if it existed.
TB coin?
Yeah, I trusted more than Steven Seagal coin. I listened to a 3-part podcast about Steven Seagal this week on The Dollop.
His life is wild.
He is one of the worst people of all time.
Yeah.
He is legitimately one of the worst people ever. I mean, holy crap.
Have you heard the stories of how much of a prima donna he would be on sets and stuff?
Yeah. Yes. He is maybe the biggest liar in the history of liars as well. He's like constantly saying like he was being recruited by the CIA, the KGB. And then every single time that he gets confronted by someone, he either crapped himself, which actually happened once. He got in a fight with a guy, or he would just like walk away and start crying and pleading. But per his account, like, yeah. And also he's like basically tried to sexually assault everybody that has ever worked
for him. I didn't know that.
Too. Yeah, he's legitimately an awful human being. But I don't know how I got off on that tangent. Oh, yeah, he had Bitcoin. I would buy Brady Bitcoin. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world.
Oh, okay.
That all Netflix right. that's just... show that's going to come out, it's going to be great. The roasts, you know, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch the next episode of Man in the Arena. You know, we should all be thankful that he graced us with his presence.
I'm just looking at you now, Sean. I can't. He's Paul, you're legitimately ruining Tom. There has been this thing with Tom Brady over the last year where he's become more active on TikTok and social media, and he has become very likable to me.
Yeah.
And you're undoing all of his TikTok work, like his TikToks with his sons, and why?
Because I'm a true believer.
He's been so likable. I was like, you know what?
You should have liked him before.
Why?
You know what?
No.
Judgment Day has come. Judgment Day has come. He has won. Okay, he won his 7th Super Bowl. That is more than every franchise in the NFL in its entire history. No one will ever do it again. Judgment, you should have been on before, okay?
I'm sorry.
You weren't on before.
I'm sorry, but did Tom...
You can't like him now.
Did Tom Brady score the same score on the Wonderlic as Ryan Fitzpatrick did? I'm sorry. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand...
Raise a banner
for that. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand is the one that isn't worthy of Tom Brady's, because Tom Brady's intellectual level isn't on par with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick,
you want to know why he wasn't a good NFL quarterback? Because he was above the game of NFL, because he's so daggum intelligent.
Dadgum, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. I'm minding my P's and Q's today.
A lot better.
Very PG show.
Pull the old Bobby Bowden one-liner out.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. You know what? I really love when these NuGenix commercials come on. I'm sorry. It's the funniest thing in the world. Ladies, she's going to love it too. I'm the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas. You know why they call me the Big Hurt? I think you can guess. Anyway, I should do advertisements for them. Hey, it's that time of the show. It is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I want to give a shout out to Houston native Kelsey Wingert, who is a friend. Kelsey Wingert is the Colorado Rockies television reporter. She was working for the Braves for a little bit. She's filled in from time to time here locally on the AT&T Sportsnet broadcast. She got absolutely drilled in the face by a baseball in a Rockies game this week. She is okay. She's tweeted about it. Honestly, I feel for her. She's like getting ready to get married, there's a big thing right in the middle of the forehead. But I'm glad she is okay. She is awesome, great person, and that was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And a take I've always had about baseball is, hey, can we put some nets up?
Is the, yeah, for a long time.
All of Japan does it. I do not understand why that is not the case. And I know some people are going to be like, well, you should be paying attention over the course of a whole baseball game. Why risk it?
You can't look down for 2 seconds?
Yeah, you got kids that are there, too. Like, all of Japan does this. The netting is not that obstructive?
Obstructional?
That word. Listen, just because I...
It's because he's a Pats fan. He worships at the altar of Tom Brady's dictionary, not Ryan Fitzpatrick's. That's the problem.
Anyway, I'm really glad Kelsey's okay. That was a terrifying moment.
How quickly is she getting married? Like, soon? So she's going to have, like, the knot on her head during her wedding?
I know it's... I don't know. I hope not. But, yeah, there's a big cut. Yeah, yeah, so...
That's awful.
I know. If I were going to be okay.
If I were the guy marrying her, I'd immediately walk up and, like, when she walks down, I'd be like, see, guys, I am marrying a unicorn. And then...
Then the wedding wouldn't happen. Yeah, don't.
How have I stayed married as long as I have, man?
It's a great question. Comments like that certainly aren't helping you out. So I'm just going to move on to the next topic. That is a friend. Come on.
It's a funny joke. I'm sorry that happened to a friend, but it's a funny joke.
Talking trash about Tom Brady. Talking trash
it's a
about,
hilarious
about
joke.
Kelce.
Thank you
okay.
very much.
Another, before we hit the road. Okay, so Josh Beard, noted Dallas Mavericks fan.
Yep.
Look, I know a lot of people are talking about the Mavericks and Warriors game, which is going to take place tonight, but they're not talking about Mark Cuban versus Lil Wayne. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, quoted, I think, a line by Lil Wayne, said, "It's a bleep show, put you front row," showing Lil Wayne sitting courtside. He said Lil Wayne had called Luka a hoe.
Yeah.
Luka a hoe. Well, and since...
He tweeted it. It was a tweet after, like, game two.
Right. So in a since-deleted tweet, Lil Wayne said... "Mark Cuban, don't make me get you smacked, boy. You playing with me? I will piss in your effing mouth, bro." Excuse me, not bro.
Mark Cuban has pay someone to hunt you down money.
That's a good point.
Mark Cuban's afraid. Do you know the kind of security that guy's hired? Mark Cuban's got, "I have friends that can make you disappear" money.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even be safe in prison.
No.
I mean,
Mark Cuban could reach you anywhere.
He could get you anywhere. That guy's a billionaire. Seriously, he could get you wherever you are. That's a great point, Josh.
Yeah, I would never step to billionaires like that. Let Elon go off on Twitter. Don't say anything. He'll make you go missing.
Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass and for an entire week of Vanessa and Gallant. And, of course, big thanks to Josh Beard, to my right. Josh, thank you so much for filling in. And let's do a long show on Friday.
Ooh, huh? I like that idea. Thanks for having me.
So next Friday, Josh is going to be back with us. Vanessa's going to be back on Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed this week and you have a wonderful weekend. So long. Farewell. You'll hear from us again 10 o'clock on Monday.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.